Good morning and welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great privilege of coming here to worship you in spirit and in truth. Dear Lord, we ask you to direct our hearts and our minds so that our worship truly comes from our heart, that we give praise to your holy name, and we pray that our worship would be pleasing to you through Jesus Christ, who has cleansed us from all our sin. May you fill us with the only true wisdom, the wisdom of your salvation, Christ crucified for us. We ask these things in his saving name. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Thy Strong Word.
Thank you.
I invite you to follow along with our order of service as it's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the middle of page 3. We begin our worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, we stand in awe of you. Since we are gathered here to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and each other that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God, and God gives us his Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may always be defended by your mighty power. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Our first reading for today is a responsive reading of selected verses of Psalm 103 that begins on page 5 in your bulletin. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading for today comes from the Gospel of Mark. We read from chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. Glory to you, O Lord. These verses come immediately before our sermon text for today. Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife, and it's Peter, his wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and all those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. This is the word of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please rise. Let's join in confessing our faith in the one true triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. With the words of the Nicene Creed, we begin on the bottom of page 7. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, When to Our World the Savior Came. Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily faith life is taken again from Mark chapter 1. We'll continue that reading in Mark chapter 1 with verses 35 through 39. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. What did Jesus come to do? Obviously, he came to do lots of things. He did lots of things while he was here on this earth. But if you had to boil it down to one thing, what would you say it was? As we continue to look at various gospel texts during this season of Epiphany and see what various things they reveal to us about Jesus, we come to a text in the Gospel of Mark that actually says, Jesus' own words, "For this purpose I have come forth." What was that purpose? We pray that the Holy Spirit would bless our study today as we seek to answer that question and learn what other things this text reveals to us about Jesus. The first thing this text reveals about Jesus is very instructive. It's an excellent example for us to follow. It first of all reveals that Jesus prayed. This text reveals in the very first verse that he prayed. He didn't just rattle off a quick table prayer before his meal either. Now listen to the words of the first verse of our text. It tells us, "In the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." In this verse and other examples from the Gospels, we see that Jesus had a very deep and very full prayer life. In fact, we're told in the Gospel of Luke that the night before he chose his 12 apostles, he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Notice in this verse that Jesus got up early, a long while before daylight, and again went off by himself to a solitary place to commune with his heavenly Father in prayer. Think about how incredible that is. It's the first verse of this text, and maybe we kind of jump right over it, but think of how incredible that verse and that fact that Jesus prayed is. How instructive it is for us as well. If Jesus, true God, but also true man, felt the need to spend quiet, focused time in prayer with his heavenly Father, how much more should we? The second thing our text reveals in this gospel reading, or in this section of the gospel, is also found in the reading we had in our gospel reading today, in the verses that come just before it. It reveals to us that Jesus is powerful. Our gospel reading reminded us of Jesus' power to heal completely, to heal both physically and spiritually. Remember those verses we read previously in Mark chapter 1? He healed Peter's mother-in-law from her fever, and he healed her immediately. And it says that she began serving him right after he healed her. A complete and full immediately healing of Peter's mother-in-law, that she was well enough immediately to go and serve Jesus and the rest of the disciples. We're also told in that same reading that at evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Do we sometimes forget just how absolute Jesus' power is? It's good for us to read these texts once again to reveal to our hearts and minds, or maybe a better way to put it is to remind our hearts and minds, that Jesus is powerful. He's almighty. He has all power, and as he says, all authority in heaven and on earth. That means he has power over the natural world, and he has power over the supernatural world, which would include the devil and all of his minions. And it's not even close. We get stuck in our minds that sometimes it's this battle between Jesus and Satan, and it's kind of, you know, neck and neck. It's not. Jesus has complete power and authority over heaven and earth, the natural and the supernatural. When the whole city lined up that night for healing, Jesus not only healed their physical illnesses and diseases, it also tells us he cast out many demons, and he showed his absolute authority and power over them by not even allowing them to speak. Great examples of Jesus' power, a reminder and a revelation that Jesus is powerful. And yet these examples of Jesus' power pale in comparison to the power Jesus reveals when he reminds us of his purpose. After all, knowing what Jesus' purpose was, what he came to this earth to do, is just as important as knowing who he is. Many people might know that Jesus was a historical figure. Many people will admit that Jesus existed, but they don't really know who he is. They certainly don't know him by faith as their Lord and Savior. In the same way that it's necessary to know that Jesus is more than just a good man, more than just a great teacher, a great healer, or more than just a God, it's also necessary to know Jesus' main purpose in coming to this earth. And it was not just to physically heal or to work miracles. It was not to come and lead a political or social revolution. It was not even to show people just how to love each other or how to pray or how to lead a good life by his own perfect example. In our text, Jesus tells us very clearly what his purpose was. Then we see him act and speak to accomplish that mission, that purpose. In fact, all that Jesus is, all that he has said, all that he has done was working toward completing that mission, that purpose. All the miracles, the healings, the teachings, and the acts of love were not an end to themselves, but were done to help accomplish that purpose. Jesus says in verse 38, "For this purpose I have come." What was that purpose? We're told in verse 38 that it was to preach. And so our text reveals this about Jesus. It reveals that, most importantly, Jesus' purpose was to preach. Not just to preach in general. We need to add to that statement. Not just to preach in general, but as our sermon text from the Gospel of Matthew last week reminded us, Jesus came to preach the gospel of the kingdom. It means Jesus came preaching the good news. That's what the gospel means. The good news about himself, how he'd come to save mankind by his perfect life and his eventual sacrifice on the cross for the world's sins. At other times in his ministry, Jesus clearly stated this was his mission. This was his purpose for coming to this earth. Listen to a few other times where Jesus speaks about his purpose. John 18, 37. He says, "For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is on the side of truth listens to me." Mark 10, 45, he says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And from John 10, 38, "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." Jesus there, of course, is referring to real, true life, which would include, and most importantly, included eternal life. As true God himself, Jesus' purpose was, of course, the same as his Father's purpose. Jesus, as true man, prayed to his Father, as we read in our text in verse 1. Jesus sought his Father's will, and he was devoted to his mission, his purpose for coming to this earth. Jesus himself said in John's Gospel, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Well, how did God the Father summarize his will? How does God the Father summarize his purpose? The Bible tells us that as well. 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, "God our Savior desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of God. Of the truth." It was God's purpose from eternity to save mankind, to save people of the world through his Son Jesus. He knew in advance that Satan would ruin his perfect creation, and so he sent Jesus to restore it. That was the reason for Jesus' epiphany, his revealing or appearance as the Son of God on this earth. The Apostle John tells us in 1 John 3, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." That's exactly what we see Jesus doing in our text, isn't it? Destroying the works of the devil by preaching the gospel of peace, forgiveness, and life against Satan, death, and hell. He was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, as our text tells us, and he was defeating Satan by casting out demons. Now, the fact that Jesus was completely, 100% devoted to his mission, his purpose of mankind's salvation, does not, of course, prove that he was true God or God's Son. But the fact that he accomplished it absolutely does. The fact that he accomplished his mission exactly and completely as his Father intended certainly proves he was and is God's Son, Jesus, God himself. Jesus crushed Satan once and for all and destroyed sin's power by his shed blood on the cross, the very blood of the Son of God. By his death on the cross and defeated death then by his victorious resurrection 3 days later. Jesus' purpose was accomplished fully and completely. But think about this fact. He is still doing more saving work because there are still more souls to be saved. Don't get me wrong, his blood and his righteousness are enough. They are completely and totally enough to cover the payment for the sins of the entire world, the salvation of all people. But not all have heard, and so not all have believed. So in that sense, there is more saving work to do. There are still more souls to be saved. And remarkably, God has given this work to us. He's given this work to us Christians to do. He has given us his powerful, saving word to preach and to drive out Satan. He has given us a powerful purpose, a purpose he gives to each one of us. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are we completely devoted to that purpose? Are we completely devoted to the purpose that Jesus has given us to share that salvation, to share the good news, the gospel, with others? Like Jesus did in our text, do we set aside time alone in prayer with our Heavenly Father and pray, Thy will be done, that His will be done, that His mission of saving souls would be accomplished among us, through us, and also by other Christians around the globe? Like Jesus, we can preach the gospel of the kingdom of God to the many souls who are dying and in need of this saving good news. Now, maybe we can't go from town to town teaching like Jesus, but we have those around us, some even very close to us, family members and friends, who do need to hear of Jesus' love and need to see his love reflected in our lives. That means we back up our words with compassionate actions, actions of love, reflecting Jesus' love for us. Jesus backed up his words and his preaching with acts of love, healing well into the night people who were sick with all kinds of diseases, casting out demons. At the very least, all of us can not only pray, but also give our offerings to help those who are carrying out Christ's mission. We know there's always a great need for offerings here, locally, in our country, and also, of course, overseas. Telling of God's saving love in Christ to others and then showing them that love in our lives, let that be our purpose. It's a pretty daunting purpose. It's a blessed purpose, but it's daunting. Where are we going to find the motivation and the strength and the love to carry this out? We're going to find it in Jesus. We'll find it in reading his powerful word every day. In that word, it reveals to us and reminds us of our purpose. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. For the love of Christ compels us, because we have come to this conclusion. One died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all so that those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for him who died in their place and was raised again. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, you can do so by placing it in the offering plate on the lower table in the entryway of our church. In our prayers today, we'll be saying a prayer to the Lord to bless our remodeling efforts, which began yesterday. Prayers have also been requested for the Anderson family. Julia's grandfather, Dean Anderson, passed away this morning. We pray for him and pray for his family, pray for Nana and all those who knew and loved Dean Anderson. We also pray for her sister-in-law's family, the Wade family, as she lost her father, Ed Wade, over this past weekend. So some passings in Julia's family. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's turn our hearts together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to give your peace, the peace of Jesus, the peace that transcends all understanding, the peace that the world cannot give, on the Anderson family and the Wade family as they are mourning the loss of Dean Anderson and Ed Wade from this life. We thank and praise you, Lord, that you brought them to faith in you and that now they are enjoying the bliss of heaven with you, their Savior. Please watch over their family and loved ones and give them comfort and peace, knowing that their loved one is with you, Jesus. Give us all the joy of knowing that when we say goodbye to a departing Christian, that it's not forever, but only till we meet again on heaven's glorious shore. Dear Savior, we ask you to give a special blessing and special comfort to Nana as she's mourning the loss of her dear husband of many years. Be with her and comfort her through the gospel and help their family, Lord, to trust in you during this time of loss. Dear Jesus, we praise you for revealing yourself to us in your word as our Savior, as our friend and our shepherd, the one who helps us in every time of need and every time of loss. We ask for your blessings upon our congregations, on our school, our shared ministries. We ask you to help us to serve together in unity, bonded by your love and your word, for the advancement of your gospel and your kingdom, and to the glory of your saving name. Dear Savior, we ask you to help us. Help us to keep focused on your purpose of spreading the powerful, soul-saving gospel to others. Give us the words to speak. Give us your words. Give us the strength, your strength and your love, to carry it out. Help us to remember to lean on you and to turn to you for all things in prayer, even as you prayed often to your Heavenly Father. Bless us with a renewed willingness and zeal to hear and learn from your word, to apply it to our lives and share it with others. Help us all to use our gifts, our time, and our treasures that you've given us to encourage growth in your body, the church. Bless our work as we remodel and beautify your house of worship and your school with our remodeling and new floor project. We thank you for the willing hearts and hands of so many to accomplish this project, and we thank you for providing us the funds to accomplish it. Give us joy and harmony in our work, reminding us that our labor in the Lord is never in vain. Bless those among us who need your special care, any who are weak or sick, those who are hurting or in any need of any kind, Lord, we ask you to hear and heal them. Forgive us for the indifference and shallowness that so often characterizes our faith. Forgive us for the times we've abused your saving grace, as well as every instance of neglecting your word and sacraments. Forgive us, Lord, and correct us. To the praise and glory of your name we ask these things, dear Savior. Amen. We continue our worship service with our next hymn, Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness. Please rise. We continue on the top of page 11 with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly fitting, right, and spiritually beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing.
Blessed is he who comes, the name of the Lord.
We give you thanks, O Lord our God, for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ and his cross. Give us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. In his name we pray, as we now join in the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We continue with the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of our Lord be with you always. Amen. You may be seated. We start our distribution for communion with those who would like to take the Lord's Supper from their pew. I invite you to get out your communion packets at this time. We start first with the bread. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. And now the wine. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. I now invite those who would like to receive the Lord's Supper here at the altar to come forward at the direction of our usher. I invite you to please rise. We join now in singing the Nunc Dimittis on the top of page 14. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Closing hymn for this evening, or for this morning, is Your Hand, O Lord, in Days of Old. I invite you to stand for the last verse. You may be seated.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and pray that you've been blessed through the message you've heard today. I didn't mean to say good evening this evening when I introduced the last hymn, but it is pretty dark outside and it's raining hard, so I think I looked up and thought, evening. Good morning. Following our worship service today, we have our women's auxiliary. Where would you like to meet for that? Right up here, okay. Not in the fellowship hall. If you notice, there is some pretty serious construction going on, and some of the rooms are a little less than usable at this point, so we probably will be meeting in the sanctuary for many things, including Bible class over the next few weeks. We'll have it here in the sanctuary. We'll be planning another work day again on Saturday, doing some more painting and prep work, probably focusing mainly on the fellowship hall and the entryway to get those finished up before we move into the two offices. The flooring is coming on the 20th, so we have kind of a deadline to get some of the prep work done before that date. A big thank you to all who helped yesterday. A lot of work got done, and we appreciate all the time you spent. Please do pardon our dust and some of the construction items as we are in the middle of remodeling. I would say in your mailbox, but the mailboxes are kind of taped over right now because of the painting. So there are items in the entryway on the table. There is a February church calendar if you would like a hard copy. It was sent out by email this week. There is the latest Daily Rest, Daily Devotional. Please pick one of those up. There are a few extra invitations, hard copy invitations for the volunteer luncheon. Unfortunately, some of those are in your mailbox right now. We'll be able to get to them likely next Sunday, and you'll be receiving an email reminder this week as well. The volunteer appreciation luncheon for our school is on Tuesday, February 14th. It's from 11:30 to 12:30. Please come and join us for that. The students would love to have you, and would love to share not only a luncheon with you, but also some fun things outdoors that day. I believe those are all the announcements I have for today. Are there any other announcements? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.